Hey, you're listening to The Growth Signal. My name is Alyssa Nolte.
And I'm Mark Stern.
And we're going to get right into it. Mark, tell us, what is your hot take?
Yeah, so I am a firm believer in physical products. My whole business is around it. And in this age of AI, where we're seeing this rise and rise of content entering the marketplace, content was already on an exponential in terms of what you see out in the marketplace pre-AI. But now with AI, that exponential is even more vertical. And what you're seeing in the marketplace is this rise of digital distrust. People questioning the content that's in front of them, and people are constantly looking for a way to stand out in such a noisy, crowded marketplace. This is where physical products can become one of the most important differentiators. What's old is new again. Remember that we are human. We like touch. And so if you have a product or service out in the marketplace, if you're not thinking about how a physical product can enhance and enable a digital experience, you're leaving a lot of opportunity and money on the table. So I'll start with that, Alyssa. We can delve much deeper into that.
So I'm so excited to talk about this because I think it's something that has been happening for a really long time in digital. In a prior life, we did a lot of research on political advertising and how different generations perceive the validity of political advertising. And so you have a lot of people, a lot of politicians and consultants spending a ton of money on digital. And they were particularly targeting like that millennial Gen Z generation when it came to digital. And then we did this research and discovered millennials and Gen Z are much more distrustful of digital, like ads or something they see on social media, than they would be of a piece of direct mail. And I was blown away by that because it's so counterintuitive. Gen Z doesn't want physical mail, but in their minds, it was harder to do a physical thing. So therefore, it was more valid and more trustful because anybody can spin up a Facebook ad. And I think it's a really interesting approach to exactly what you said. Sometimes going back to the basics and back to the fundamentals and who we are as human beings and, you know, touch grass and get off the internet might be your best strategy.
Yeah. And part of how we look at it is this way. It's what is experience? Experience is seen through the senses. So if you go down to Disney World or you go to your favorite restaurant, there's something about activating all the senses that's really, really powerful as a differentiator. When you're talking about a digital product, we're only activating the sense of sight and the sense of sound, what you see and what you hear. When I scroll through my Facebook feed, it's a sense of sight. If I'm watching the YouTube video or listening to a podcast, it's a sense of sound or a combination of the two. When you introduce something physical, now I can introduce touch, taste, and smell, other elements that you simply cannot activate with a digital-only product. And the other angle of this is, part of it is business owners tend to make it way too hard for their customer to get the result or have success. And if I send you the tools and resources you need to go through the digital experience, I remove this idea of someday I'll get to it because I took the obstacle off the table. The same thing is true if you make people print out stuff in your business for them to do the thing you want them to do. You're assuming they have a printer. The printer has ink. It is set up. You have paper. When you print out everything, you're organized. There's just too much that can go wrong that if one of those steps, like I'm out of paper, I'm out of ink, you just literally stop them in their tracks. Whereas if I can create a customer journey and reinforce it with a physical experience and send you a box that guides you through that digital product or service, it just makes it so much more effortless and seamless. But that's like the big thing is that think about senses. Think about the fact that we are human. We require touch. And direct mail, to your point, Alyssa, is one of the most underrated channels that right now people are saying, if you're not paying attention, customer acquisition via direct mail is incredibly powerful. But think about open rates. How often, for me, I have so many junk email accounts that I just send email to. Yeah. Open rates of emails are so low. But if I send you a box or a package in the mail, you're looking at open rates of 90% plus. So if I get it in your hands, it's a really powerful thing. And here's the thing, especially with the cost of meta ads and paid traffic, sometimes sending something via direct mail is going to be a lot more cost effective than playing the digital game.
Well, and especially if you're really thoughtful with how you go about doing that, right? I would love to actually dive quite deep into this, but I want to ask you a question first about, you made a comment about like if you're requiring them to print something out, but they don't have a printer and they don't have ink. I have had experiences on the flip side where I've had people want to print something out. So I work in research. We get, you know, reports. They get reports delivered to them. And one of the biggest complaints we got was, I want to print this out, but your PowerPoint is not designed to be printed. It's dark mode. And because I'm a millennial, and I like dark mode. So it's dark mode and I can't print it and like all of these things. And so I think it's really important that we all just recenter on, you have to create experiences around the way your people that you're trying to connect with actually exist and work and want to experience the world, not the way you wish that they would, right? Like, I go down to Disney World, and Disney World is trying to create an experience that I want to keep coming back to. And yes, there's a little bit of like driving people in the direction you want them to go. But if Disney said, we're only going to do the most efficient thing and we're only going to do all of these things, I forget the magic, right? But I want to exist in the magic. That's why I'm coming. Mm-hmm. And so I think you have to have a really good understanding of who your customers are and how they want to engage the world, and particularly the world you're trying to create for them. Otherwise, you run the risk of what I had, where they wanted to print, or what you mentioned, where they didn't want to print, but they had to.
Yeah, and I love this because you're talking about, like, it's okay for us as the entrepreneur or the business owner to hold a vision and create the vision and create the experience. But you have to remember that people will vote with their dollars. Like, it's not about them. It's about what are their pain points? How do we get them results or through that transformation as a result of the program that we create? And I will tell you this, we've launched products that what I thought would be the use case that we led with, and versus like getting into the hands of the customers and seeing how they actually interacted with it, were two completely different experiences, which when we then re-engineered the go-to-market strategy around how they started to use it, you see it take off in a very different way, because it's not about me, it's about them.
Right. And you have to exist in the way, in the world that is, not the world that you wish, right?
That's it.
So let's talk about physical products, because one of my favorite things, and I work from home now, but previously I worked in a physical office. And what we would do is what I called swag day, where one day I would just randomly walk in with a box of stuff for all the employees. There'd be like no order forms, no like heads up or anything. I'd literally walk in, I'd be like, swag day, and like that camel hump day voice. And everyone would be so excited. It was everybody's favorite day, was when we either brought in swag or we brought in lunch. Not the days where we were doing anything other than like our normal work, but lunch and swag, those are the most popular days. So I can see the correlation. Between, and now I work from home, it's so hard to do swag day. Now I have to get their address. I have to know their sizes. Like, it's a whole thing. But how can we create that same kind of like surprise and delight moment using physical products, to your point, and do it in a way that feels like we're not just throwing money at sending, you know, like, okay, I'm going to send you a cup and a water bottle. Like, how can we be much more clever about that and much more human centric about the experiences that we create?
This is such a good question. So what I want to anchor on is we joke here at Custom Box Agency, and we say that swag means stuff without a goal. And we say, stop sending people swag, stop sending them stuff. Because if you send me stuff and I don't have a connection to it, there's no connection or community. It's just stuff. What happens to stuff? If you give it to me while I'm at a conference, it probably stays in the hotel room. If you send it to me, it probably goes in the Goodwill pile. If I have no connection to it, I don't want to collect stuff with your branding on it. And right. So when you think about physical products, how we start to think about it is, do we have a very clearly defined customer journey? And can I reinforce it in something physical? So what I mean by that is the essence of every box we build out starts with customer journey, or it could be the employee journey as well. And we actually build out a map that has a beginning, middle, and end to it that is basically the recipe of the experience that you're about to go through. If I have that journey that I'm like, you're working with me, and for example, there's a program that I'm working with. I've been going through this physical transformation ever since crossing into my 40s. And the program that I signed up for is Six Pack CEO. Success is very clearly defined in this game. Success is, do you have a six pack? It's a yes or a no. And he's leading out these men entrepreneurs that are 40s, 50s, 60s down to a six pack. So he defined the terms of the experience or the game in a way that I know where I am and I know what success looks like. And then he provides me the pathway to getting that result. So in terms of a box experience, what I'd like to see is break it down into phases. There could be phase, like a couple different phases that navigate you to the result. And it just makes me get into momentum and have the micro wins throughout. So part of how we may do this in an experience is you may receive a box that has a journey map that's like a 10,000 foot view of the experience that you're about to go through. And there could be a series of envelopes that you open when you earn the right to open that envelope. And inside the envelopes are the tools, resources, or the action steps you need to take at that point in the process. Ways that I could reinforce with swag is, if you hit a certain milestone in the process, then I may say, I want to celebrate you. So let me send you the t-shirt, the jacket, the hoodie, the sunglasses, the hat, whatever the widget may be, the mug. but it has a different form of meaning. And a good example of this is, are you familiar with P90X, that whole craze that happened?
Yes. I think I still have the DVDs stuck somewhere in my my DVD graveyard.
I was going to say, I still have the DVDs, but I have no DVD player. I have no
means. Yeah, I don't either. I don't either. I don't even know if my PS5 will play a DVD anymore.
I don't even know. I would assume, yeah. But what's so fascinating about that model is they don't send you a box of swag when you join P90X. They send you a box that literally has a welcome note, a getting started guide, a journey map, and all the tools and resources. So the DVDs to have the experience. P90X, for those who may not be familiar with it, it's using muscle confusion and using your body to help you lean out to the best shape of your life. And they do this over the course of 90 days and you just follow the protocol. When you get to day 90, what they have you do is they make you take your before picture on day one and your after picture on day 90, and you submit that to P90X. And when you do that, or you submit it to Beachbody, they send you a Team Beachbody t-shirt. And so they're trading a testimonial for swag. But the swag doesn't have the same meaning of just like giving me a shirt for showing up in an event. I just went through an experience over the course of 90 days. And at the end of the 90 days, you celebrated me. So for me, it's about achievement. It's about a shift in identity. That's what this t-shirt represents. For them, it's about social proof and extending customer lifetime value. Because what happens when they give you the t-shirt? They say, welcome to Team Beachbody. Now sign up for Shakeology or now try this next program. So they're constantly selling you the next journey. So this journey stacking idea to me is something that's really powerful. It can be easily engineered, but this is kind of how we start to look at physical products is I can take a business problem that you have. I can take your genius, your frameworks, turn it into a physical experience that allows you to get your time back. And it allows me to scale you in a way that you can serve more people with your systems, especially if you know it works.
And I think also to that point is how many of us bought those P90X DVDs and never made it past, you know, day 10 or whatever that is. Yeah. I know I didn't. I had all the best intentions, right? But, you know, habits don't build themselves overnight.
Yeah.
And the idea that, you know, you're not really out anything on that t-shirt, right? And it becomes an achievement thing. And realistically, when your goal is to get leaner and in the best shape of your life, wouldn't you want to have a t-shirt that fits that new body rather than the t-shirt that you would have gotten on day one, right? And almost can be like an advertisement of not only the testimonial, but the fact that you've earned this t-shirt and that's the type of body you want to see in your brand when your brand is getting the best shape of your life.
Yeah. It's so powerful.
So a lot of our listeners are going to be, I would say, more business to business kind of people. So how would you take this same concept of taking people on a journey when you're selling them something kind of mundane or less transformational or less personal when it comes to, you know, maybe I'm selling them software. Maybe I'm selling them something that isn't necessarily as sexy or exciting as getting in the best shape of your life.
Yeah, software is easy to do as well, because one of the things that people with software platforms want to do is how do I get people utilizing my software in the first 30 days? So again, I can create a box experience that is all about gamifying getting them to do what you want to do. We have a client in the credit repair space. What do we do with the box experience? They have a SaaS platform that helps people start to launch their own credit repair business in addition to fixing their own credit. And so what do we do in the first 30 days? If we can take you through a process that can get you to utilize the software, start to put it into place and start to do the things that the software is meant to do, it's getting you into the habit. And this is where we start to see attrition rates go down. Because, you know, those first 30 days for a software are critical. How do I make sure that those trials convert customers? And then how do we get them to stay? If I can get you utilizing the platform, this is a way to get you to stay. So that's a perfect example of how to do it in that space. If you are a doctor or a lawyer, we worked with lawyers. You know, we had a client that was a personal injury lawyer. What did we do? He was like, if people would just follow the process, they could get the maximum settlement. And I just need to do that. So we built a box experience that truly gamified all the things that they need to do. From onboarding all the way to wrapping up the settlement. And it just painted this beautiful picture of setting expectations on the journey you're about to go on and then giving them the tools and just keeping them focused on what they needed to do. So there was no question of what they needed. And so here's the thing is that, like, I would have argued that law and, you know, credit repair could be mundane. But the reality is when I delved into the businesses, it's fascinating. And in any of these, you can create something that even though you may think that what you do is mundane, and this works brilliant B2B, B2C, there's so many different applications on how to leverage it. We have a product I can tell you about that is a B2B product that is an acquisition product, But all I'm trying to do is, how do I get you to have a breakthrough and get a result? Because if I can get you into momentum, I know that I can get you the outcome of the transformation and then prepare you for the next stop on the journey. And that's all lifetime value.
So I have two questions for you. One is, you know, as I'm sitting here thinking of this and I'm putting my operations hat on, right? So small business, money is always tight. We're very careful with where we spend every dollar. So what would you say to someone, whether they're a small business or a huge business, when they say something like, this is more expensive than our digital onboarding system and it's not going to scale? So how can we be prepared to invest in this if it's way more expensive than the, you know, the email campaign that we have or the learning management system that we already have in place?
Yeah, it just, for me, this is such a game that the cost per unit is going to be relative to the number of units you commit to and then what the composite of the experience is. And my happy zone with a lot of these box experiences is between $15 and $30. So $15 to $30, especially when you have a client that's paying you $1,000, $5,000, $10,000, $25,000, $50,000 a month is a drop in the bucket. So the financial investment is a stigma that needs to be broken. And when I say that is what makes these boxes expensive, swag boxes get really expensive because you're putting a lot of stuff in there. That Yeti mug that you just have to put in there is $35, $40. Question is the Yeti mug something out of the gates that they're really going to value as opposed to really setting me on a clear pathway, showing me that my hard-earned dollars that I'm giving you as a business owner is actually going to drive the results. So this is kind of why that journey piece is so critical for us, is that it shows you, here's our recipe to get you the result and we're going to take you through it. So it kind of shows them the blueprint that they're about to enter without giving away your special sauce. But that's the big thing, is that I think that there's a stigma around the investment, and the reality is it's really not. Printing physical products, especially with what we do that's very like heavy on the paper, booklets, workbooks, pamphlets, journals, full cards, envelopes, box, these are not expensive. And so this is kind of where to me, the physical should complement the digital. It should reinforce the digital. It should reinforce the opportunity that you're providing them, the key benefits of why they invested in you. So these are just touch points, but it really doesn't break the bank. And that's why I encourage people to do it. The most difficult part about it is just going to be designing the experience. Once it's designed, it's done. And that's something you just can keep printing forever.
Well, let's get into that, because my head is obviously thinking about like, okay, how would I try to do something like this, right? How would I use a box in my business, which is, you know, consulting or software? How much of that experience are people relying on you and your expertise? How creative do you have to get? And if someone is listening to this and they're saying like, I like this idea, I'm buying what he's selling in terms of like the importance of this, but I'm not a creative person. I have no idea where to start. I've never done this before. How much handholding do you give people?
We like for clients, we tell them, you know, we are the ones who have been living and breathing this for years, because we put all of our mental capacity towards thinking about physical and how physical enable the online or digital or local experience. And so that's my candy line. When we work with clients, if you start engaging with our team, you don't need to know the solution for the box experience or whatever the experience may be, if it's a box or mailer or something else. The second we know what you're trying to do, this is why we anchor on what is the outcome? What does success look like in this idea? Defining success for me so it's tangible, i.e. Six-Pack CEO, do you have a six? Yes or no? If you're in ClickFunnels realm, they have the two Common Club Award. Did you generate $1 million? Yes or no? These binary elements to define success are really, really powerful. So that's kind of what I would just say, is that you don't need to know how to do it. You just need to know what the outcome is. And if I know the outcome, we can show you what is possible. Now, if you're doing this without us on your own, again, what I would say is start with the end in mind. What's the outcome of what you're trying to achieve with your clients with this product or service? Then go back to the beginning and define the onboarding part of the experience, which is how are you educating them and preparing them for the journey that they're about to go on? And then just break down the process into a bunch of phases until they get the result. Because if you go from phase one to phase two, I know without a shadow of a doubt that you as a client of mine have gone through a transformation. You're no longer at the beginning. You're no longer at onboarding. You're no longer at phase one. You're now at phase two. And the same thing, if I could just get you to phase three, you are not the same person. You are going through a transformation. And before you know it, you're one step closer to the finish line and then you're there. Like, that's what I want to be able to engineer. And so anyone can do this. But if you're just like, I am so stuck and I don't know what to do, reach out to us. This is something that truly, if I just know what you're trying to achieve, we'll show you what is possible. And we like get into, when I say we get into our clients' visit, we'll go through your course. We'll really delve deep into the process of how you deliver to clients. And sometimes holding up a mirror and saying, this is what I'm asking your clients to do is really, really powerful, because they don't understand the complexities of some of the experiences they're creating for their people.
I would love to actually ask you to share with us the either the most successful box journey you've ever built or the riskiest one that you were like, I don't know if this is going to work, but we're going to try it.
I don't know. I love all my boxes that we built. We've done somewhere between 150 and 200 different types of products and campaigns. And so we've seen so many, but the one I'm most excited about is the one that we're testing. Is my mentor looked at me and he was like, you build out these experiences for other people. Why aren't you doing it for yourself? And it was like a knife in my side. Like,
I always tell people it's like the doctor who smokes or the personal trainer who's overweight. Like sometimes we do things for other people so well, but we forget to do it for ourselves.
No, it's true. So here's what the product is. And let me anchor on this. When thinking about like the journey, so when thinking about the different types of campaigns that we can do, we anchor it on the customer lifecycle. So three phases. You acquire a customer, then you onboard and deliver, and then you retain. So if you're coming to me, those are three very different types of customer journeys or experiences that we can build out with boxes. Acquisition is, how do people find you to buy your product or service? Onboarding and delivery is, okay, now you're a client or a customer. How am I onboarding you and preparing you for the journey ahead? And then retention heavily is on recognition. Can I like create some type of award system to celebrate you if you hit a milestone, or introducing the next part of the journey? So it's the journey stacking concept, which is all about extending lifetime value. We did as an acquisition play. This is something that we launched in April of this year, a product called 57 Hats. I'll send you one of these, Alyssa. But with the whole premise of it, just started, and this is an example of how taking just an idea of something that's one of your frameworks that you're already deploying and putting into practice. But the whole premise was, as a business owner, do you actually know how many hats you're wearing in your business? And this started because me.
Sure that I want to know, man. Like 57 hats, that seems like a lowball number.
I know. And it's funny because like that's one of the questions we ask people is, do you know? And so all we did was like, this came about with me just saying, as I grew my business and now we have over 20 people on my core team, and then my warehouse is about another 20. But like when we were smaller and starting to grow, I started pulling hats off of my teammates, and they started to go through like a mourning period of, you know, why are you taking these hats off me? Do you not think I do good work? And I'm like, no. I hired you for this role. I want you to stay in your zone of genius. And as they embraced it, they really flourished. But the concept is really simple. We broke down a business into five departments, operations, marketing, delivery, sales, and finance. And then we used as a modality like playing cards. And each card was a different color representing the different departments and the most common roles in each of these departments. And we played off this idea of hats, as in, what would a hat of an executive assistant look like? What would the hat of a CEO look like? So it's a really cute, cheeky, when you look at every card, there's a picture of what the hat for that role looks like. And the whole premise is, we turned it into a game because we didn't want to feel like everything else, but there's a game board like Monopoly material that has two different frameworks. And the exercise on one side is, go through the hats, pull out all the hats you're wearing, because we want to know, how many hats are you wearing today as a business owner? Then go through the exercise that we take you through, which is this a hat you should do, delegate, or delete? And we give you the evaluation criteria for it. And then on the backside, for all the roles that you can delegate, the question becomes, can AI replace this? Or can a teammate that you currently have replace this? Or is this something that you need to hire out? And in the online portal, which is where physical and digital come together, for every single hat in the box set, we give you the roles and responsibilities for that role, a job description you can swipe, KPIs you can consider tracking, sample interview questions if you're looking to hire that role, sample tests to evaluate their skills as well as their personality, Myers-Briggs strengths. So I'm using this as an anchor to show, we just took one of our frameworks, which is, are these roles you should do, delegate, or delete, or how do we delegate this out? And we just turned it into a physical product, but as an acquisition play, when we introduced this to market, we introduced it to cold traffic. We did meta ads. By day five, the campaign was profitable. So if people are saying that Facebook ads are dead, I would encourage you to say, explore again a way physical and digital can transform that game. And to date, we sold thousands of units of this product that has not only brought us attention and notoriety, but also We've had big players in the market reach out to us about co-branding the product with us, about sponsoring the product. We're about to do with a company that has over 200,000 businesses in its network. We're trialing out doing local market dinners, leveraging 57 Hats to guide these business owners through. So just very because cool. We started with a physical product, it just kind of bloomed into this huge opportunity. And what's been really cool is we thought this was a self-diagnosis tool. People are now leveraging it in the marketplace as a sales tool, sitting down with prospects and taking them through the exercise to say, how many hats are you wearing? And oh, by the way, if you hire us, we will replace all these hats in your business. Very powerful to show visually the things that you will be able to step in and take pressure off of other business owners. And so this is kind of where it's been a really cool campaign. It was designed as an acquisition play, which means on the back end, if you needed help staffing in our network, we have a staffing agency that can help support that. And so we've been able to get business as a result of that. We've been able to get leads and generate leads. And we've leveraged this heavily as a 3+ ship because the cost of the product is not much more for us than the cost of buying a book. And the question is, would you rather read a book or would you rather go through an interactive experience in less than 15 minutes and have a breakthrough and be ready for the next? So this is kind of where physical becomes a really powerful.
I am obsessed with that. That is so cool.
Yeah. It's just taking a framework that you already deploy and just building your product. These things don't need to be over-engineered.
Right. And clever too, because, you know, a lot of people write books, right? I get asked probably every week if I'm writing a book. I am not. Spoiler alert.
Maybe someday. Maybe you should. Maybe someday.
But maybe it's not. Maybe it's, you know, instead of writing a book, maybe you make a set of playing cards. Maybe you make a Candyland-esque game. Maybe you think about the way that the people that you want to pull into your circle want to interact with the world. And if writing a book is the best way to connect with those people, then write the book. If it's playing cards, make the playing cards. Maybe you make custom tarot cards because that is the audience, what your audience cares about. Yeah. So I really love the idea of thinking outside the box a little bit. And that's obviously a play on the fact that you do the boxes, but thinking outside the box so we can create great experiences for our customers. I think that's a really important thing that we all need to be doing, because if you are not differentiating yourself in some way, you are not going to be in business much longer, especially with AI as it takes us down this road of sameness that I'm seeing.
Yeah, sameness is too. So the one thing I want to add that I think is also important is think about the things you naturally save in your life. And this is really important. So look around your home and go like, what do I save and why am I saving this thing? And so there's different categorizations of things. So I know things that you reference, you're going to save. So when you buy that book, typically you don't read a book and throw it out. You put it on a bookshelf and it may sit on that bookshelf for years, if not decades, if not generations. The same thing is with board games. When you play Monopoly, you don't play it once and throw out the Monopoly set. You keep the box. It's the container for the experience. It's something that truly takes up real estate in your house. And you never throw it out. And so for me, in this game we play as entrepreneurs, being top of mind is so important. So things like 57 Hats and doing a box set, I want to take up real estate in your house. I know the bigger the box, the more likelihood someone's going to break it down and throw it out. So the sizing is really important as we start to think about intentionality. But I want, and this is what I see, I love seeing like videos in the wild, and I can see in the background, there's our 57 Hats box. Because I want to create something, you know, oh, by the way, something that business owners don't do well is go through this experience and I want you to do it again in the next 3 to 6 months. So reminding them to keep it, to go through it again at a later date. The problem with digital content is sometimes they get behind some type of login screen that you forget that you have access to, but there's no physical footprint. There's no real estate. There's no element to be just easily top of mind. And if you're like me, I bought things and then years later be like, oh, that looks cool, and bought the same thing and then realize I already had access to. Because we forget all the digital debt we collect as a result of this. And then AI is just adding to it. And again, like I said, the rise of digital distrust, physical is such a powerful differentiator.
You know, thinking about all the people that you know or aspire to know, who else is out there? Who else should we be listening to?
Yeah, there's so many great ones. Right now, I love Dan Martell. I love Joey Coleman. I have a dear friend, Marisa Murgatroyd. All these people in some way are helping people. Like Dan is big about buying back your time. So a lot of what we look into these experiences is how do we give you back your time as an entrepreneur? Because our time is our greatest asset. Joey Coleman and Marisa are two just geniuses when it comes to customer experience and experience design. And just to see some of the things that they're doing in the marketplace, they're just wonderful. And so those are some of the people that I I've met all three of these. They're incredible individuals. That's what I look for, is not someone who's a personality online. You meet them and you're like, oh, there's a massive disconnect. People who truly should show up of who they are and truly have their heart in the game in a way of like, how do I truly serve and help? So that's why these people really inspire me.
And if someone is been listening to this conversation, they want to learn more. They either want to follow you online, learn more about these boxed experiences, or figure out what 57 hats they're wearing. Where can they find you online?
Oh, yeah. Thank you for asking. You can always check us out at customboxagency.com. It's a great place. You can schedule a free consultation with our team. We love to hear what you're doing. So come and share with us. In addition to that, feel free to find me on Facebook or LinkedIn. I love connecting with people on LinkedIn. But those are probably the best places. You can connect with me on Instagram. It's a growing channel. You'll see lots of my pictures of my dog as a puppy. But I would say probably LinkedIn and Facebook are the best ways to access me, or just go to our website. And for 57, just go to 57hats.com, 57hats.com.
Perfect. Well, I will drop both of those links into the show notes. Thank you so much for joining me on the Grow Signal today. This was a really, really interesting and unique experience. So thanks for bringing us this experience on the podcast.
Yeah, Alyssa, thank you for having me.